Okay, well, this is the big announcement. I think everybody's been waiting for this. This is episode number 20 plus. I'm not exactly sure how many Daddy Issues episodes we've done, but this is the first one where one of the hosts of Daddy Issues, in fact, the guy with more daddy issues than the person speaking, is not on the podcast. He went camping, and when Oliver Hudson says he's going off the grid, I've said that before, and my phone is always on and always by my side. It's like when you send an email to somebody and you get the immediate reply, oh, so-and-so is out of the office, I won't be checking email until 2 weeks from now, and then you get an email right back. That's how I went off the grid. When Oliver goes off the grid, he goes in his little camper. He posts evidently naked ass shots of himself while off the grid and then doesn't communicate with his co-host for a podcast, that co-host being me, who has a Thursday night football game, who's trying to fit this in around everything because it's so important to me. But Oliver had to camp, and so he's not back at a time when we can do this. So instead, we've turned the wives issue into a wife issue. And my wife, the lovely Michelle Beisner Buck, is alongside while she joins me from Denver, Colorado, while she's out there hanging with your mom, loving your mom, your dad, your brother. What are you doing out there? We should talk more now that I'm saying this. Hi,
we
Michelle.
We should talk more. Oh, hi, friend. Hello, old friend. How are you?
Hello, you old crusty so-and-so.
Oh, now that's not very nice. We had such a loving goodbye, too. All right, listen, I'm a podcast newbie on Daddy Issues, and I feel as though I probably have just as many, maybe not, maybe Oliver has more daddy issues than I do, but I can't believe that you didn't reference this when you just told the world that Oliver couldn't make this Wives Part 2 podcast, that you didn't say when he goes off the grid that he goes OTG, hashtag.
Oh, God.
It's right?
Just, it's annoying. It's I can't get him. He has the work ethic of Blake and Wyatt, who are almost 2.5 years old, our sons. So we'll leave this for another day. Oliver can answer all of these charges next week. In the meantime, I think it's interesting, Michelle, to have you back because I know that after listening to Wives Podcast Part 1, you didn't like the end result. You didn't think you came off well representing yourself or us in the first go around. Is that right?
I had a very hard time listening to it. In fact, I had to stop and revisit a few days later after I could digest everything that I heard. Listen, there are a lot of shades. It's like 50 shades of Michelle, and you got a very dark shade of me on Wives Part 1. I dropped enough F-bombs to effectively destroy the world, and that's fine. I'm happy to drive the biggest truck. I work in a man's world, and F-bombs are friends. They're like little friends that I carry with me all the time. But it was every other word. Okay, that's issue number one. Issue number two, I think I got so excited because I was seeing Oliver and Aaron for the first time in, I mean, months, I guess a year, because we were supposed to go to Cabo, but that got canceled because of COVID. So I got very excited and giddy, and I then became very chatty. I mean, it sounded like I was three cocktails in. You know, for the record, I only have one glass of wine at 8 a.m. and a coffee cup. Just kidding. But it was overwhelming. I was very chatty. I came off. Aaron described me as feisty at times, which is accurate, but to me, I came off as a nasty bitch. And I was thinking to myself, anyone that doesn't know me, because I'm the furthest thing from that, I hope you would agree with that, but anyone that's listening that doesn't know me is probably thinking to themselves, oh my God, I feel so bad for Joe being married to this woman who, I mean, I just, There was nothing about it that I enjoyed.
Okay.
I'm sorry. So, but I will say this, it was fun and there were some great things said and it was, and I'm happy they were doing part two, just the two of us. It's like a little date.
It is. It's funny that, well, there's a couple things. First of all, it's interesting that the whole idea of daddy issues has been such a good through line for everybody because everyone's got daddy issues. They're not all bad. A lot of times they're great. You know, I feel like my daddy issues come from a great place. It's just being in St. Louis and following in his footsteps. You, Michelle, just for people who don't know, not that they don't know the famous Michelle Beisner Buck, you're from Denver. You were a Denver Broncos cheerleader for 7 years in that neighborhood.
Six and one on IR.
Six and one with a,
yes.
With
a Liz Frank injury.
With a Liz Frank injury. And after you got off the field and out of your chaps, which thank God we still have.
And we put to use at times.
Yeah, when times are tough, when we've been away from each other, or if, you know, you come off like a raging bitch on a podcast, that's when the chaps come out. And they go on, but you still fit into them. God love you for that. But here's the thing: you went from the field as a cheerleader to the business of covering sports, and you worked at a lot of different places. Kind of made your name at NFL Network. Now you've been at ESPN doing Monday Night Football, the feature interview that runs prior to the game. I could not be more proud of you. For the job you do, your work ethic, the way you pour yourself into everything you do, I think it's inspiring to me, as I've told you. I just don't see anybody in my circles work as hard as you do. And ESPN's lucky to have you. That said, if you were not at NFL Network, you and I probably would not be married. Because when I first saw you, you were there covering a Broncos game for NFL Network, a Peyton Manning preseason game. Troy and I were doing it, and I came down the elevator after the game. You were waiting to do an interview after the game. I saw you. I believe you were wearing yellow, which I don't think you've ever worn to this day since. And I talked to everybody in my crew, like, who is that? And everybody threw out your name at me, and I had never heard of you. And then my stalking began, and I literally stalked you to the point where you and I were either going to get married or I was going to get arrested for violating some sort of restraining order. So thank you for taking the former, not the latter, because that would have ruined my career.
You're welcome. You are so welcome, babe. You're right. Here, look what I found. This is so funny. So one of my dear friends, and now a friend of yours, but a girlfriend of mine, Kathy Lee, who I've been friends with for over 20 years, 20 plus years. It was her birthday last week, and I was kind of going through pictures that I could post on the gram, and I found this picture. This picture is the night that you saw me when I was covering, along with the rest of the sports world, Peyton Manning's first game as a Denver Bronco. The date, August 26th, 2012, and I was actually wearing, it's not even yellow, it's like a neon yellow.
Yeah, it's feisty.
I worked on, like, you know, I-25 north after dinner
on a road
in a construction zone. Right, exactly. But that was the first night you saw me, and then we didn't see each other for a while. You reached out to a mutual friend at NFL Network and asked what my deal was, to which I replied, or to which he replied, that I had a boyfriend and I was living with him at the time. And then we saw each other. So as strange as it is, you and I have determined that we've been in the same rooms, at the same parties, the same games, and we've never run into each other. And I think in a span of, let's say, the end of August when you first saw me, then I saw you again in October at Candlestick Park when you were doing double duty, which you do all the time because you are just a rock star that way. But the 49ers had a game, and then it was playoffs for the Giants. And it was the game, which you'll have to tell this story, where you had a camera crew following you down a trolley from Candlestick to Giant Stadium.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Well, but I saw you from the far sideline, and I told Troy, I was like, there she is. There she is. That's her. So then we get the binoculars out. Now we're all looking. It's Troy. He's got the binoculars out. He's like, yeah, she's pretty. And then I grabbed the binoculars. They're still around his neck, the strap, and I yanked his head over to the side. And I was like, let me see. So then I looked through the binoculars at you. And then Dave Schwalbe, who was our spotter, and Ed Sfida, they were all looking through binoculars. And then I kept, you know, checking to see where you were. And at one point you were gone. And I turned around. I walked outside of our booth at decrepit old but great Candlestick Park, which I miss, and looked over the little walkway. And there you were in the coffee line. And I was like,
yeah.
Even though we have a coffee maker in our broadcast booth, I'm going down to get coffee right now. And I just kind of creepily wedged my way between you and whoever was behind you at the time. And I was like, hey. How you doing? And I introduced myself, and you said, hey, have you talked to Rich Eisen lately? And I said, why? Because I'm stalking you. And then ha, 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 hilarity ensued, laughter, laughter, laughter. And I said, so what's your story? Do you have a boyfriend? And you said, yeah, I have a boyfriend, and I live with him. And I said, oh, that's dumb. And yes. And then the spark was lit for me. I still see the same girl, even on a shitty Zoom call, now that I saw in that coffee line. And then the pursuit really got crazy. Then Rich Eisen was pulled even more into the middle. Then eventually he just called time out, gave me your number, gave you my number, and we kind of went from there. But I will say this last thing, and this story is dragging on, and Josh Windisch the and Matt Sasaki can cut a lot of this out because it's boring. But
it's so not boring.
It is boring.
I love our love story, and I think other people will love it as well.
It is boring, but then I see you in Green Bay. So now we've determined that we've been on all these different events and in the same rooms and in the same stadiums and the same probably hotels at some point along the way. And I see you at Lambeau Field in the meeting room, in the team meeting room, and I introduce you to Steve Horn, who's my coworker and dear friend and yours now too. And I came back around after I did the introductions, Pam Oliver. And I said, so are you staying here tonight, meeting in Green Bay? And I said, what hotel are you at? Maybe we can go get a drink later. Let's forget the whole Rich Eisen thing.
Well, let me back up quickly though. But because before you said that, you said, are you still with your boyfriend?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, that could be changing. Because we were on a very slippery slope.
Oh, hell yeah.
Right?
Then
the door opening.
Birds started chirping. I was like, so you're saying there's a chance.
That's
right.
I put
on my orange tuxedo and my top hat in Green Bay. And I said, well, hey there, pretty lady. What hotel are you at? And he said, oh, I'm staying at the Hyatt. I was like, oh, okay, great. So later that night, we go to dinner, our little production group. You said, call me later. And I call the Hyatt, let's say. I don't even know if it was a Hyatt. I call the Hyatt
right,
in Green
Bay.
Right,
because I did not give you myself. I mean, I didn't. At that point, you did not have my cell phone number.
No, that's true. You're right. I did not have your cell phone number. So I had to find you at the hotel. I call the hotel at the Hyatt, whichever one you told me, and I said, can you connect me to the Beisner room? Yeah, sure, no problem. I don't see a Beisner listed here. I said, yeah, B-E-I-S-N-E-R? Yeah, no, I don't see that. Okay, B-I-E-S-N-E-R? No. How about B-E-Y-S-N-E-R? How about B-A-E-R-S-N-E-R? No spelling. You gave me a false hotel.
And that, my friends, is how you play the game.
Oh, that was a game? Or you just legitimately didn't want to have me follow up with you?
I mean, I think it was a little bit of both. I was obviously intrigued, and you were stalking me a little bit in strange ways through other people, through mutual friends. But I was also, even though this relationship that I was in was very quickly. I mean, it was slowly deteriorating, and then it was just on a very quick path to destruction. But right. I was still with him, and so I can't. I'm not going to make myself that available
right.
because it wasn't right.
These are the things that I love about you. That's what makes you a great human and a wonderful partner and somebody to be trusted. And so it was that night that I was at a restaurant that that Aaron Rodgers eats in before every
Chives.
Home game.
Chives. We can drop that. Chives.
Yeah, I was going to say Chives. And I'm sitting there and I'm texting because I couldn't find you. So now I'm texting Eisen. He's texting you. You're texting him back. He's playing middleman. Eventually he's like, look, you're a good person. She's a good person. Here, you can each have each other's number. I'm out. And then, you know, it kind of, our texting relationship started from that point, and then it blossomed into twin 2-year-old boys that came, thank God, via IVF.
Yes, very true. Wow,
to
you jumped to the end. You like skipped a lot of chapters just to wrap up that story. So I guess
It gives me the hives. It gives me the hives because I love it. I love it. But I never liked, even at the time, feeling like I was the stalker, which I joke about, or the pursuer, to the point where you were, you know, come stay, like I was a dog. And then eventually I showed up in L.A. We were going to go to Laguna or something. And I got there and I landed and I just had this epiphany. I was like, you know, fuck this. I am not. No, I called my mom. I went to your apartment and I said, hey, how are you? Good. Gave me a big hug. And I said, I'm leaving. And that was it.
So that was the game changer moment. That was I'm going to reference Boomerang, one of the greatest movies of all time. But it was like, boy, you can't be pussy whipped. You got to whip that pussy. Do you remember that scene?
Yes.
And that is exactly what you did. So for just a tiny bit of backstory, although this
is how can I be pussy whipped,
a long
by the way.
Story.
I barely talked to you at that point.
No,
hardly.
I know, but to your credit and also to my discredit, you were very patient, which I was actually, now knowing you as well as I do, I'm surprised that you hung in there as long as you did. So once you and I started communicating via text and my relationship was ending and then ended, you and I started to talk a little bit more via text. And then that became, okay, well, Joe would text me or call me and say, I've got to come to LA. Maybe we can do lunch. Well, as much as I wanted to, I still felt like it was too soon. I wasn't ready for it. And so I pushed that off. I remember then during that time, though, my ex and I, we were pretty well just done sleeping in separate bedrooms. The only thing that we were waiting on was like the U-Haul truck to get his stuff out. And I had to cover a St. Louis Rams game in St. Louis, which I'd never covered the Rams before. When I was at NFL Network, I was mainly an NFC West, AFC West girl, but I never really traveled further east than Denver when I covered games. So I texted Joe and I said, hey, I'm coming to St. Louis. Can you recommend any restaurants? And he said, sure.
Listen to this line. Come on. Go ahead.
He said, sure, I can recommend restaurants, but I have to take you. So I agreed to have dinner with him.
Oh,
look at you, baller.
Yeah.
And that night we had dinner and we are going to spare the world the details of that, but it was that night that I think what's so great about that night is that I saw the real you. I mean, you really didn't put up any fronts. I mean, the person that you were day one that I really spent time with you is the person that you are 7.5 years later.
That's right.
Charismatic and silly and goofy and
just throw them all out there.
Yeah,
gassy.
Gassy for sure. Maybe not gassy. Funny and protective in like a strange but really welcoming way. It was great. And then again, like it went on and on and on. So Joe and I continued to kind of have this exchange, but we obviously, babe, we weren't together. And then you came out to LA. And this was in March of 2013. And you came out to LA and you said, I'm going to be there for work, which was a big fat lie. You were coming out to see me.
Yes.
I'll come see you at your apartment. He shows up at my apartment. I opened the door. I was so excited to see him. And he said, how are you? Gives me a big hug. He said, I came here to tell you that I'm leaving. I said, what do you mean you're leaving? I'm leaving. I can't handle this anymore. Either you want to take a chance and see where this thing can go, or you don't. And I understand that you recently ended a relationship, and I understand that you need to mourn this relationship, which is a phrase that I would say to him over and over, which I'm sure he loathes, of course. But I'm not going to stand for that. I feel like I see something in the two of us that could be real and could be long lasting, a lifetime, in fact. But if you don't want to try it out, then I'm okay with that. I got to go. And I just stood there with my jaw on the floor and I watched him leave. And I was completely stunned. And I didn't know, and also frozen. I wanted to run after you, but I also didn't know what the hell just happened. Because I thought that we were on a good, very slow moving path to potentially something. And I sat there for, I think maybe 30 minutes. And I wrestled with all my emotions and my thoughts. And then I realized I would be making the biggest mistake of my life if I just didn't try to see what this was, because he was put in my life for a reason. So I texted Joe, where are you? No response.
Well, this brings the whole story full circle. I went off the grid. This goes back to Oliver.
OTG hashtag.
I went off the grid and I put my phone in my pocket or turned it off. And I couldn't get on a flight until that evening. And so I went to O'Brien's in Santa Monica.
Santa Monica.
Drank my face off. And then eventually turned my phone on. Now, I will be honest with you, and I've probably told you this 100 times since, but I kind of thought that you would, you know, come running. I don't think I bought.
Oh, did you?
I don't think I bought a non-refundable ticket back home. I'm not even sure I bought a ticket back home. But I sat at O'Brien's waiting for you to text me a sufficient number of times. But I think I set the over-under at 12. And once you hit 12, the next time one came my way, I was like, I'm at O'Brien's. My flight's not till 9, blah, blah, blah. And then you came to O'Brien's and then we started our...
It's like the seas parted. It was a slow motion run into each other's arms.
Right. I threw up after all that beer.
A little bit.
I threw up and I cleaned it. You held my hair while I threw up.
Right.
And I knew that you were the kind of woman that I wanted to be, you know, married to for the rest of my life. So here we are. How about this COVID?
How about it, babe? How about it?
So that's our story. And I mean,
let's wrap it up by saying we were engaged. Our relationship really started officially March of 2013. We were engaged August of 2013. So there was no time wasted. And
no.
I think that's because
I'm old.
One. Right.
I mean, it's
older,
like Anna Nicole Smith and that corpse that she married.
Yes. Very good reference, babe. Incredible comparison. I mean, doppelganger comparison there to the two of us. But yeah, I mean, you don't have time to waste. And
by the way, if there are any relatives of either Anna Nicole, may she rest in peace or may he rest in peace. I am sorry. He was, it looked legit from the beginning. So I'm sorry. That was a rude joke.
That was nice of you to say.
Now you're still working. I'm working. I feel like I'm working more than I've ever worked in my life. Not with COVID and all that, but just typically in a typical year. And you're working and all over the place. We have these beautiful boys and we have this great machine working as best as it can at home to provide everything that they need and everything we need. And and you make it all go. So I couldn't, you know, I thank your mom every time I see her for what she put into you to make you come out as this great, like, I'll handle it woman who makes everything great for those around her. So we have a lot of the same attributes, I think, that way.
Definitely. And it's not I make it go, it's we make it go. I mean, we both juggle a lot. You, as I mentioned in part one of this Wives podcast, you juggle more than anyone, personally and professionally.
Not so, Oliver. He's camping.
Right. He's camping. OTG. Hashtag. But no, you know, we have, I also think, I love you, Oliver, but I also think there were quite a few moments in our podcast last week where he was trying to
bait you.
I mean, yes, with us and how much we fight. I mean, we fight, we're scrappy, but we don't, you know, we don't stay on one kind of heated.
No, because I can make you laugh.
Disagreement for too long. You do make me laugh all the time.
At the most opportune times for me and frustrating times for you, because I can turn any serious situation or real fight into hilarity and fun, and then you can't hold it together and you laugh, and I think you get kind of twice as mad, but it goes quicker. That's my
Is that your strategy? Assessment. That's your strategy.
Yeah, I'm going to make you more mad by, you know, making light of something or, you know, pulling your hair, but that's going to make you upset, but the whole thing will die down quicker because you've thrown some laughter into the equation.
Speaking of hair, I keep pulling at my hair, and I'm sure that's annoying you on the other side of this Zoom call, but I just got these extensions in, this beautiful new weave, if you will, from my girl Reese, but it's so tightly sewn into my head.
Let me tell you something.
That my headaches have been so gnarly the last 2 days.
Okay, so you feel that at the back of your head, right? You feel that pulling.
Yes.
Okay. When you get hair plugs or hair restoration or whatever, why can't I not think of it? You get hair replacement surgery, whatever it is. They cut the live strip of hair out of the back of your head and then they sew it together. So it's sewn together back there, and you want to talk about tight. You want to talk about headaches. You want to talk about, so not only you get it coming and going, because not only do they slice the back of your head open and tighten it, but then they're making these little pinprick holes where they can put the bulbs of hair into the top of your head. That, my friend, is pain. What you're feeling is just, that's tough shit. You want to look, you know, like you want to look on ESPN. Put up with a little bit of hair extension pain. Quit being such a little bitch.
Wow. Okay. You were so sweet about it. You were empathetic because I know you've gone through so much worse.
I'm just trying to get you back from last week.
Well, but do you like the extensions, or do you feel as though, oh no, wait, I know how you feel. You feel like I'm too old for this is what you said. But I don't have crazy long extensions. I just wanted a little bit more volume, a little bit more body.
You know, when I said you're too old for that, that was just a way of making myself feel better because I was throwing an age thing at you, as your birthday is coming up in exactly 15 days. Look at that.
16 days, right?
No, how many days are in September?
Today's the
30th. I'm 51. Look, I'm looking now. I'm 51 years old, and I still can't tell you.
I know, it's simple math, though. Today is September 30th. My birthday is October 15th. So okay. 15 and a half days. You're not necessarily wrong, and neither am I. I like
that. My point is, how old do you have to get before, when you look something up in a dictionary or something alphabetically
listed? Do you have
listed,
an actual dictionary?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've cracked it open in a while, but if you're looking through a book... Is that right now? I've got the Jets release in front of me. If I want to go to Josh Malone, their third string receiver, I have to go to the M's to find him because it's alphabetically listed. But how many times when you get to RST, I have to sing the alphabet to myself to know what comes after what to get to the proper page quicker. Here we are. I'm 51. I don't know how many days there are in September yet. When will I learn that? When I'm 80? Will I die not knowing that there are only 30 days in September? How many days
you know
are
what?
In March?
You get
I don't
a hall
know.
Pass. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because you're a Hall of Famer.
Oh.
Hall
Thank
pass.
You.
Hall of Famer, get it, got it, got it.
Yes.
No, listen, like it's a bitch getting older. I just got blood work done, as we know, and I'm healthy as a horse, as they say. But there are some areas that are
a nag. I mean, healthy as a nag.
Healthy
it's
as
a horse.
Nag.
It's a kind of
okay,
horse.
Yeah.
I love you. Just, go ahead.
I know. And it's a little frightening some of the results that I got. For instance. I don't think it's wrong to share this. I think it's actually good to share this. Maybe people that are our age are going through the exact same thing. I think that, you know, for me, we did IVF for, what, a year and a half before we actually got pregnant. I had hormones in my body for so long. I'm injecting things into my stomach, into my ass on a daily basis for the longest time. And I get these, thank God, because the results were worth every single needle that I put inside of my body. But I'm completely out of whack. And I remember talking to my OBGYN probably a month ago and just telling her, look, my libido sucks, flat out sucks. Has nothing to do with you, Joe, as you know. I love you. I think you're the sexiest, hottest, most like scrumptious man that I know. But I have no drive. And you go through what I went through. You go through IVF and you go through pregnancy where then natural hormones are become a part of that equation. And everything is like this jumbled mess inside your body. And it takes years before that can even itself out. So I went and got this blood work done because I wanted to know what was going on. Sometimes this can be equated to your thyroid. My thyroid is all good. Everything checks out and I'm good, except my testosterone levels are very low. So they prescribed testosterone to me, which will hopefully increase my sex drive. And listen, we're fine. Like we're still good, but.
So we're going to do it more than once a day is what you're saying.
We do it twice a day at least, babe.
go ahead. I think that's great that you're sharing all that. I do think you have to say how old you are now. I don't think
of
you
course.
Can throw all that out there. You're 43,
well,
almost 44.
I will be 44 in 15 and a half days.
Correct.
So today, though, my love, I took my first testosterone pill. And this is now supposed to increase my libido. And also another benefit, it's supposed to kind of lean out my muscle mass, which I'm very much looking forward to if this works. But it may not take a month before this kicks in. And at the end of the month, if it hasn't kicked in, then I may need a higher dose. I mean, they prescribed me a very low dose because my levels aren't that bad. But it's, you know, it's in a window or in kind of a category that you would prescribe something. So we'll see how it goes. But I put that little testosterone pill under my tongue and I let it dissolve and I just daydreamed about the wild, crazy sex we would be having.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Why you should have texted me at that point. I could have been thinking about the same thing. Or maybe I was and I didn't know why I was at that very moment. But it was because you were sucking on testosterone. In fact, I'm going to write a song called Sucking on Testosterone.
Oh, let's write it. How would it go?
Sucking on testosterone. I want to get on to my husband's bone.
Are you kidding me right now?
There he is, back from the camper.
Are you kidding me?
Oliver J. Hudson.
Oh,
my God.
Look at this. Look at this. You're tan, my friend.
Look at that.
You got some. God. I mean, you are straight up mountain man.
You are straight up village people right now.
Colorado.
I'm here, Ollie.
Sexy.
In my home state. In my home state where I'm from. I got here
what
last night.
What are you
night.
Doing?
I'm so happy to be here. I'm just here to see my family. My birthday's in 2 weeks. My brother had a birthday last week. My mom has a billion doctor's appointments. I'm
How
just here
for
3 days. 3 days. I go home on Saturday.
Why? Why don't you come up? Hang with us. We can have some fun.
Yeah. Oh, I'm in. Babe, you're okay if I come on like a month from now, right?
Sure. You're okay, if there's somebody else here when you arrive.
Who? Jay Leno?
I would expect there would be.
Yeah. The other Jay Leno.
Oliver, I'm so happy to see you.
There's only one reason why Oliver's on the call right now, okay? Let me tell you.
Why? I know what it is. We both know what it is.
It's never happened where your shit has worked right out of the gate. So here, this is mind-blowing. Your kids must not be on their school
They're not. I just wanted to check in.
Your insecurity could
exactly
not allow you to have us talk shit on you for not being on your own podcast.
Okay. That could
that is
be
so spot on, babe. That's exactly what I was thinking.
The truth. I thought that I would add to it, spice it up, come in a little
I'm
bit.
I'm glad you're here. I'm just telling you, I know why you're here.
I have no insecurity. I'm just checking on my golf clubs.
Look.
I just want to be clear. I'm not insecure. I hope you guys talked a lot of shit about me because I know that you both love me dearly as I love you both dearly. And it hurts me to get text messages from Joe all angry. I can't imagine being his wife. That must be difficult. But I get text messages
from him. She was just
as
pissed.
Whoa, he hates me. He must fucking hate me. And I get back into service. And I'm like, hey man, I'm so sorry. Like, fuck, I know I was off the grid, and I hope you still like me. And I know you've got anger issues, but like, I feel sad. And anyway, I just wanted to check in.
No, it's. Listen, I was not responding today for any reason other than I was on two conference calls, one with the Broncos, one with the Jets. I'm doing all this work. And if you're going to go off the grid, let's fucking plan ahead and figure out when we're going to do the
thing. By the way, you're also taking care of our 2.5-year-old twin boys because mommy is in Colorado.
Yeah. Oh, there's that part too. So right now they are in a holding pen and have been for the last 45 minutes.
Oh, are you going to New York though, right? You're not going to Denver. It's Jets at Jets.
Yeah, it's at Jets. So I have to go tomorrow morning, do the game, and turn around and come back tomorrow night because my wife is gone and I want to be home this weekend while my boys are here.
Did you I know, Michelle, that you had some issues with your performance last week. Did you shore that up? Did you talk about it? Did you fix it?
Well, there's nothing to fix when it's already been done. I don't know how you go back and fix that. But I just wasn't, we talked about it. Joe and I talked about it. I just felt like this is how I explained it. I was so excited to see both you and Aaron, mainly Aaron, let's be honest, because we haven't seen you and we usually get our trip to Cabo in April, but COVID, of course, you know, fucked all that up. And I felt like I was very chatty. I was overwhelming. I was a bit commandeering. I dropped enough F-bombs to destroy the world. It was just not my proudest performance. I know that Aaron, and she nailed it on the head. I can be feisty, but I just came off like a nasty bitch. I'm not asking you to agree because
I don't think that at all. And by the way, I think your performance was much better on the Ottoman in Cabo. Just that's my own opinion.
Well, doubt about that.
We can tell that story really quick at one of these.
Golf
tournaments. Well, yeah, there's nothing.
We should call this podcast open book.
Yeah, there's nothing that happened other than
two people in love.
No. Shut up. So at the end of the tournament, at the end of the week, there's a big party. Well, Oliver's wife, Erin, had left and was back in L.A. Oliver's like bouncing around from party to party and whatever. Michelle and I came back. We started to have sex, which she's now, you missed the part where she's taking testosterone.
That's okay. Just let it go. Let it go. Let it go.
Started to have sex.
You missed a whole section that was so important.
And at one point, I don't know if Michelle's face changed or my face change. I turn around and there's Oliver creepily standing by the front door watching the entire
interaction. Wait a minute. You did not even give the place where you're having sex. You're saying sex. People are thinking you're in a bedroom. Okay.
That's fair. You're right.
You walk into this place. It's a big, open, beautiful marble living room. And there's bedrooms. There's three bedrooms. Beautiful place.
Four.
And there's a huge ottoman that sits right in the middle of this living room by the TV that you could fit an entire family on the ottoman. Right.
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 But now it's Joe and Michelle, you know, just going at it right on the ottoman. And did I linger for a little bit? Yeah, maybe.
But you know what I call that? Smart.
You know what I call that?
I just call that smart.
Frightening. I turn around, it's like, hello. And I think you were like 2 minutes away from pulling out an easel and a sketch pad.
It was like the Titanic.
Right.
Wearing only this. God.
How high were you at that point when you walked in?
Oh, very. I mean, yeah. My thing is I figured you'd want me to watch because why else would you do it on the auto?
That was your inner dialogue.
Yeah.
Of course.
Why would you not go into your bedroom?
You were probably so fucked up. You weren't even sure we were there.
It was a hologram.
Okay, Oliver, wait, I have a question for you. What did you think of Wives Part 1 podcast last week?
He doesn't listen to any of it. You can't ask
him. Oh, okay. Really?
No.
Well, going back to insecurity, you know, I feel like what we do is really fun and I enjoy every episode. And then when I listen to it, I feel like it will ruin that feeling that I have because I'll get critical and judgy and then have a bad taste in my mouth because I'm insecure about maybe the way I sound or some of the things that I say.
He's like the Jim Morrison of podcasts. He listens to his own music for fear.
I agree. I mean, Ollie, I could not listen to the whole thing. I had to stop, throw up 6 times and then digest everything for a few days and finally finish it.
No, and, Aaron's the same. Aaron, we drove to Moab separately because she had took her own car. And she goes, okay, I listened to about 5 minutes of our podcast. And she said she had to turn it off. She could not hear it. Couldn't listen to her voice.
It was bad on top of that,
shocker of all shockers, your recording device didn't work. So we're taking it all off the Zoom audio. So thank God for Matt and Josh and
and Margo. They all crushed
somebody
it.
I mean, NASA to figure out how to put the thing out onto the world.
Yeah, I literally didn't fucking push play. I mean, I don't know. It was a bad week. It was a bad week, but I'm refreshed, I'm rejuvenated, and I'm ready to fire on all cylinders.
You're like an old vagina.
Yeah, I am.
You've had a rejuvenation.
It's a good surgery, I hear.
I know. I heard you had to do that at such a young age, Michelle. Weird, but
I was 10. But you know, I mean, you know.
Oh my God! All right. Hey, I don't want to break this up, but we're not going to go on forever because who wants to listen to a podcast this long? Do you want to hear these questions? Are you dipping out, Oliver?
No, I'm here now.
Okay, good.
I'm here now. I'm here. I mean, Aaron's downstairs, but I'm here.
Okay.
Is she going to come up? No?
Here, Michelle, this one's for you, and it's from @TGHungate. Does Joe ever do a play-by-play of himself as he gets romantic and makes his move, or do you ever request that he does play-by-play?
Do you know how many times I've gotten this question over Twitter? It's so funny. Can you imagine if we were in bed together and as you were getting ready to climax or come, whatever, you were like,
don't say come. That's gross.
I know it is, isn't it? I wish there were better words for this. But if you then, as you like push your final thrust through, you were like, grand slam to win the game, the bottom of the night. Can you imagine? if those kind of things happened, the answer obviously is no, and thank God, because if he did, there's no chance that we would be married.
Oh, wow. No,
I
that
mean,
would
Oliver
be, I
does mean, it when we hate
if he was
love.
A, if he was doing it as a joke, or when I did it with you, you seemed to like
right.
it.
I mean, that was nice, but you know, you're not a Hall of Fame play-by-play.
I caught
guy,
so that one. I'm trying to read through these other questions. All right, what is one stupid thing you can answer this for Aaron? I guess. What's a healthy number for your relationship that you and your partner should be having sex per week? That's from Blair Ladner.
So healthy.
That's a good question.
That's a good question because healthy is one thing. Realistic is another. I mean, there's different.
No, but I think that you can twice. Find a healthy, realistic number. Yeah, I think twice is good.
Twice
I
a
think
week.
That's healthy. Babe, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to, you know, I was going to say twice, but I was going to hope for the over. I was going to hope
well,
for
the I know. But
well, you're always hoping realistic. For the over. You're always hoping for the over, but like we got to be realistic. These people are in search of real health. And we need to deliver that for them without any hyperbole.
If anybody's so, here for help, they're in trouble. With the busy lives you have, when you do get time away from your children and get to spend time as a couple, a date night where you don't have to dress up and put on a public face, what do you guys enjoy doing?
Joe enjoys putting on a public face when he's at his house.
Hey, everybody.
I was just going to say that.
Hey, Wyatt,
the only
Blake,
way that we enjoy
come on over
night.
Here. Sit on your dad's lap.
I think for Joe and I, what date night looks like when we get out and he puts on that public face. I mean, we like to go to the country club and shake as many hands as possible where Joe just signs. He brings like a big basket of footballs and baseballs. And a nice Sharpie. And
No. We talked about this. We talked about this on an earlier podcast, but you guys had a Corona date night where you guys got all dressed up. You went down to the basement.
Did.
You know, you had a beautiful evening.
Yes, no doubt.
So, you know.
I think that's important. But also I think, you know, with everything, it's not realistic to do those things all the time. I think the key, right, because when you get to the end of your day, you just want to be able to tune out a bit and relax and decompress from the day's stresses. So whatever that looks like, whether you're just having a glass of wine, having dinner, watching something, I think it's probably best for Joe and I, the best thing that we can do is just turn off the TV and actually face each other and talk to each other when we're having our dinner. And a glass of wine. You know, those like tiny little adjustments and simple things make all the difference.
True.
And then it leads to the over on two.
Yeah, connect.
There it is.
Connection leads to perfection.
And
well, you know that that's how a woman works. You guys are so different. Women, they have to feel the connection. We're all connected from our mind to our heart down to our vajay. If we don't, you guys are so visual and this is what you You know, Joe can look at a picture of me. I mean, this is incredible. And I don't know any other husband that does this. But he can look at a picture of me and be happy, satisfied, and use it.
Right. I'm doing it right now.
Wait a minute. You masturbate to pictures of your wife?
Have I? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
What? Oh, you mean like pictures she sends you?
Yeah, like, well, something that, yeah, that,
right.
not,
as
I'm
opposed
saying,
to like a picture
not
off
like
the
my
internet.
ESPN headshot.
Yeah, yeah, no. Like a Broncos cheerleader, like
no,
headshot.
No. You, okay. You don't have pictures of Aaron. I have pictures of Aaron.
Joe has a whole file of sexy pictures.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but don't send your wiener so many times, just once. And don't attach your face to it. You know what I mean? Like, so right. No one knows. Except for your exes, you know, whose wiener that is.
Can I attach your
Everybody
face
would,
to it?
Everyone would know with you because they'd all say, oh, Oliver, if only you had one more inch, all of your exes. That's what they'd say.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Old size 9.
I'm going to send you guys this video that we took at the campsite. I wish I had it on my phone right now so you could react in real time, but it's a slow motion shot that's really beautiful.
Oh, is it?
Cool.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting question. This is from Sahiba Sarna Krieger. Who does the bed? I know that's Sim's sister.
Yeah.
Right. Who does the bedtime routine? that can take on a lot of different angles. I take that as who prepared, like, not for some crazy night or anything, but who turns the bed down, who gets mm-hmm. the lights off, who does the sets the alarm, who does, you know, mm-hmm. whatever the hell you have going on.
Wait. Are we talking about who does the bedtime routine for us
with or the
who
kids? Does,
like, bedtime with the kids? That's how took it.
Yeah. No, I think you can take it a lot of different ways. But I will say this, and I feel like you're this way, Oliver. If we're home, I don't think I've ever not done the bath and put the boys down. I was the same with the girls.
We really think it's important to get up with them and to put them down every day when we're there. There's no excuse.
Yep. I agree. I think those are the most important times of the day, honestly, is bedtime and then waking up, breakfast. Those are my favorite times, and I think they're the most important times. You know, there's plenty of parents who are there all day and just sit around with their kids and don't do shit, and that's quantity, but quality matters more, I think. I think it's about paying attention and being there in the pivotal moments, and I think in the vulnerable moments too for a kid, and that's bedtime and wake up.
So we're gonna wind this down at some point here soon, but Michelle and I went through our history and our meeting. Mm-hmm. But Oliver, where did you meet Aaron?
So I met Aaron in an acting class, actually, and then I had a girlfriend, and we got paired together to do this scene, and it was over like a 3 or 4 week period. So we had to rehearse together and all this, but there was an immediate connection. But I was taken, and it was a friendship for about a year and a half, highly charged. It wasn't like, hey, like, you know, let's talk sports. I mean, it was a very sexually charged friendship, but a friendship nonetheless. And I was good. You know, I wasn't crossing any lines, and she was cool. And then Vanessa and I broke up, and I call her. I remember exactly where I was on Sunset Boulevard in Kenter. And I said, Aaron, hey, so Vanessa and I broke up, and I hear the phone get all scratchy and weird and some friends in the background. And she says, oh my God, well, I have a boyfriend now. And that scratchiness was her telling her girlfriends, oh my God, Oliver just broke up with Vanessa, or they broke up, and what am I supposed to do? She had a boyfriend. We were still friends. Her boyfriend left her, and then boom, the timing all seemed to work out. We went to Vegas for the weekend for Super Bowl, and we just got annihilated.
What year was I
for
doing
3 days
Super Bowl
straight?
What year was that?
Most likely. I mean, this was 2001.
No, yeah, I wasn't doing it.
2001. And then we were on, you know, ecstasy, to be candid, and we were just flying around Vegas all crazy for 3 days, and we get home, and there was so much connection there, but I was worried that it was too drug induced. So I said, you know what, let's hang out and just be together and see if whatever happened in Vegas was real. And still trying to figure that out, three kids and 20 years later.
Right. More or less ecstasy.
No, those days are done. But you
I
know,
hear that stuff's bad for your like brain fluid, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's pure MDMA now that people are eating, and I have friends who do it. And they say it's amazing. It's not our thing. I like stuff from the earth. You know, I like my marijuana and my mushrooms that Aaron and I partake in now and again. And I will get you to do it. I know
there's
that.
No
fucking way.
Chance.
I will. I'm gonna Fox won't allow you, and I get that. But once your career is over.
No. Once you know well enough to know that I would have a fucking meltdown.
No, but
Joe
this
and
is,
I are not
no,
like
no,
drug
no,
people.
No. You have this perception, this idea of what it is. You think you take a little
but
bit of mushrooms
what,
and you fucking lose your mind.
Yeah,
that's not
what
how it
take
happens.
Over in my mind. You don't understand that. I'm not
Did
coming to
Did you get that
it.
Article I sent you?
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, if, you know, whenever the day comes, I'm facing my bitter end, I'll do anything.
When you're on your deathbed, you'll do mushrooms.
You don't seem to understand. It opens up your brain. It doesn't
you
shut
don't
it down.
Understand. My brain is shut down, and if I get on that stuff,
and that's
it's
the way we
be,
like it,
it's gonna be meltdown. I'm gonna be
no.
no. No.
Joe, I promise you. Okay. I need people who listen to this episode to write into Joe, to DM him on his Instagram and on his Twitter. Well, yeah. Or just hit him up in comments, whatever, explaining to him that psilocybin is not what you think it is. It's not this.
Okay, but I hear you, and I think that there's obviously a lot of validity to that. We just, Joe and I don't know enough about it, and we don't partake in any of that because I think we are control freaks, and I don't know, I'm going to just speak for myself, but I don't want to step into that paranoia, out of control state of mind.
That's not what it is. That's not what it is.
Okay.
All right. This is what I'm saying. You are assuming that that's what it is just because of, like, you know, you saw like Reefer Madness or something, but that's not what it, that's not what it is. You guys are still like on the Reefer Madness tip.
No, it was, there was a after school special when in the 70s of kids on angel dust, like jumping off the roof of their school.
It was like Michael Landon, like OD'd on alcohol.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's different. That shit will kill you quick. But
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, with all the liquor that you drink, Michelle, it would be better off having a mushroom.
What a dick.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with sipping a little grape every night. That's God's water. We all know it.
It's from the earth, Oliver.
It is.
That's right.
It is from the earth. I have no problem with wine and liquor. Anyway, my point is...
As you guys know, I don't really... I'm a bad liquor person. I just do wine. There's so many jokes in there.
The last—it's funny because the last question on here is, "How do you deal with sadness or anger?"
Mushrooms.
I'm sad, honey. Can you get the mushroom?
Give me my mushrooms.
Yeah, my mushrooms.
I'm so sad.
I'm gonna just walk and eat my mushrooms.
I'll be fine. I walked through the meadows.
Oh, my God. All right.
By the way, read the article, Johns Hopkins. It's a real study.
I read it on my phone. It took me 23 hours to read that thing.
I needed
mushrooms to read it.
honestly, how I deal with sadness and anger. You know, I've had a lot of help in my life as far as therapy goes. I think therapy is an incredible thing. I've talked about going to the Hoffman Institute on this podcast, which, by the way, sadly burned down in the Napa fires.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm going to try to get a good crew together to help them rebuild, maybe raise some money, because, you know, that place honestly changed my life. I deal with sadness and anger like I deal with happiness and joy. You know, I mean, they're all part of the emotional spectrum, and you deal with it. You work through it. You try to discover where it comes from. Don't let it take you over, as you shouldn't let joy and happiness take you over as well. I like that even playing field. So, you know, I think you just have to dig a little deep as to why you might feel sad or why you might feel angry. Oftentimes those two things are connected, and then you realize that life is a long journey, and there's many beautiful things in this world, and is it worth it? It's easy. We have a choice. We can choose to be angry. We can choose to be sad. You know, we can also choose the other. So I choose the other.
God.
That was beautiful.
I love you.
Drop it like it's hot.
You know, that's mushrooms right there, you guys. That's what happens. It just switches. You change, you know, your brain chemistry changes. You feel compassion, empathy, emotion.
So are you admitting to us right now that you're on mushrooms? Is that what you're saying?
No. This is a long-term effect.
Okay.
Great. Does that also include not setting up when to do the podcast before you go off the grid? Is that part of it?
That's the bad part. That's there's a give and a take, and you know,
right? Yeah, to our point, you lose all kind of control.
You don't lose control. You actually
things that you're supposed
control.
To be doing.
I'm done with this topic. I'm gonna think about, you know, maybe sending this to you. Maybe I won't.
I can't wait. I'm so excited, man.
Okay. All right.
Joe bought me golf clubs for my birthday. It was the most amazing present I've had from even a parent, honestly. So I'm very grateful. And now I'm just sitting here waiting for this package, you know, to come through here. I know, yeah. Michelle, you want to make a joke, package, Joe's package, you know, but I want
no,
these golf clubs.
I wasn't
clubs.
Thinking that, actually.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
This has been fun, you guys.
I wish
that Aaron could have joined us. It makes me sad.
I know.
But
I don't know where the hell she is. Whatever it takes. We'll find you.
Are you guys doing
the whole abandon my boy thing?
Yeah, that was Last of the Mohicans, but we always get back to Daniel Day-Lewis.
Hi, beautiful. I love you.
There she is.
No one's going to see this, Aaron.
Aaron
well, then why
Hudson.
Are you doing that?
So you can see your friends.
I get it, girl. I get it. I know. I love you. Okay.
Okay. We're all saying goodbye.
Do you want to do one question for Aaron? Because there was one for her.
Yeah. Does Oliver act more like Goldie or Kurt? That's from Landy Graham 388.
I'll say his mom, Goldie.
There you go, folks.
All right.
The woman of few words, you know, she's.
Does Kate act more like Goldie or Kurt?
Oh, Kurt. Are these your questions, Joe?
No, that wasn't that I added. Yes, that was my question.
I knew it.
Yeah. All right. Goodbye.
All right. Well, sorry, this didn't work out. My fault, you know, but we got to get, I do want Aaron on at some point to go through my life. I know you guys went through your shit and it's my turn.
Okay. All right.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you. Bye.
Love you.
Bye. Love you guys.
Bye.
Love you.
Bye.